Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back, and Survivor Ghost Island is over. And we had a great... That was probably, I gotta say, my heart was pumping like about a half hour ago when this episode actually ended. But we had to watch this reunion, and we'll talk about, you know, Kevin Hart, because that's all you guys want to hear about anyway. But but I have to say that is the best ending the show's ever had. I'm not saying it's the best finale that the show's ever had. In fact, I thought the finale was like okay. But
I thought you loved the finale.
No, I didn't love it. I liked it, but like there were certain things that I was like, I'm digging this, but I liked how Wendell and Dom were just constantly going at each other in different ways because they knew how close it was. Mm-hmm. And we'll get into Dom's like decisions and, you know, Wendell giving his idol to Laurel, which ultimately won him the game and all that. But I think that this is the first time we've ever ended on a tie. And, like, you just can't deny it. That's, like, the craziest thing. It's, like, I had chills so bad. My heart was, like, beating through my chest. Like, we always talked about tie. And this time we just said, like, it won't happen. Like, we'd almost given up on the dream. And here they come, of course, and they have the tie when we had let our guards down the most.
Yeah. And it was funny. Phil and I were texting each other. And Phil was like, are you, like, getting emotional about this? And I was like, what? Like,
no.
No. Like, no. It's not like I love the show or anything. And it was so true. It was like, I mean, obviously, like, I feel like so many other fans are such huge fans of Dom and Wendell, despite everything that we've complained about for the past 2.5 to 3.5 months. But, like, this is something that as fans, people have been talking about for so long. And especially after Jeff dropped it at the Game Changers finale, everyone was like, oh, this is going to be the Ben versus Chrissy thing or the mm-hmm. Ben and Devin, whatever. And they totally duped us. They got us this season. And this was the ultimate, this is what I've been craving. I remember after Michael's idol play, when he played the stick, I was like, this should excite me, but it just doesn't because I've seen it before. I've watched this happen every season. And this went down and I texted like the 7 people I know who still watch the show. And I was like, this is the craziest thing I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. I am sweating. I am jumping up and down and mm-hmm. nobody is home for me to play with right now. And it was crazy. It was wild and it made the finish so good. And the looks on their faces when Jeff said, I'm going to read those votes, it was just wild. And you could tell who the super fans were because Jonathan was like, what the heck? Laurel was like, what the heck's going on? Dom and Wendell were like, what's going on? I can't imagine what the vibe was like when Jeff started doing that.
Well, I mean, you could see on all of their faces, even the people who might not be huge fans. I fixed it. Don't worry. But like, even the people who might not be huge fans, like a Chris or I don't know who else wasn't a huge fan, honestly, because I don't know that much about a lot of those people. But like just that these were being read right there, you knew what it meant. Because and we've said this in the past and I've been told I'm wrong and I just want to let everybody know I'm right because that's always a good feeling. But Will and I would always talk about, if this is a tie, this is how it goes down. Jeff reads the votes. The third person is actually the one who does the extra vote, and they wouldn't read it at Tribal. People be like, that's not how it happens. They would find it on 3. No, we see that now. But all the huge fans, somebody like Kellen, who's sitting down for that, knows what's coming. Dom and Wendell both knew what was coming, and Dom had to know as soon as Jeff said, I'm going to read the votes now, he's like, damn, I lost. Yeah. Because Laurel was going to be the tie-breaking vote, and there was no way that Laurel was going to end up voting for Dom over Wendell, especially after the move that Wendell made to give Laurel the immunity necklace that she didn't even need, but it just showed the loyalty. Mm-hmm. It just showed like, hey, you have been my girl since the beginning or since we got together, and now I'm giving this to you to ensure you're in the final four and that you'll get a chance to fight your way into the final three.
Yeah, and I mean, we can talk about Laurel. I know she has gotten a lot of flack the past couple weeks from us, from the internet, from pretty much everybody, and tonight from the jury. But you know what? She's gonna be a big Survivor trivia answer one day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, especially, I mean, this season, I mean, we know we're getting 2 more seasons. So I would say we're probably gonna get, you know, we'll get more and more than that. And yeah, this is gonna go on. It's gonna be like, wow, now a tie has happened. It could happen again. And, you know, we've seen in recent seasons, like the Brad and Sarah one was a little closer. And, you know, even the Ben, Chrissy, Ryan one was a 5-2-1. Like, there are some where at least people are getting votes. But for the most part, we haven't gotten, like, a one-vote decider in a very long time. I actually couldn't tell you what the last one was. I'm sure somebody will say it. But we haven't gotten, like, a really close tribal. Like, it got to the point where we were like, please just make sure at least 2 people here get votes. Because Adam winning 10-0 is Adam winning 10-0. You know, what is it, in 32, Michelle and Aubrey, at least that one was close. That was still, like, what, 5-2-1 or 5-3-1 or something like that? So, like, we haven't gotten, like, a really, really, really close vote like this in a while. So to sit there and watch this turn into a tie and then realize it's all coming to Laurel, and, like, there's no way Laurel wants that decision. But you know what? And I don't want to give Laurel a hard time for the game she played too much, because she said a lot of smart things at this final tribal where she said, I had to do what was best for me, not what was best for all of you. If I make that big move, sure, you guys like it, but I'm not sitting here. So she made a lot of good points, but I will say, for playing that passive, slower game, then she gets this, and she has to make this ultimate decision where it was like, now you do have to turn on one of them. She was playing so nose clean, and she just made Wendell a millionaire and Dom a $100,000 heir.
$100,000 heir, for sure. Yeah, I'm actually going to put it out there. I feel like she had the best – when it comes to just, like, words coming out of the three of their mouths, Laurel had the best tribal council performance, because Wendell kind of crumbled, and Dominic was getting super cocky, and they – this is a result of this – I know we've only had this, what, three seasons now, the this new final tribal council format, that their reactions were just a result of this, because it's easier for the jury to just pile on them when there's not, like – an active, okay, now it's Chelsea's turn, now it's Sebastian's turn, now it's Angel's turn. Mm-hmm. Those are people who all didn't really talk tonight, but I guess Sebastian kind of did. But Laurel, like, kind of held her composition, and I think that's just because, I mean, actually, no, people were kind of jumping down her throat, and she held her ground, and she brought up the point that not many people have been making, which is, yeah, Laurel's playing a losing final tribal game, but guess what she got there? And
yeah,
she's a super fan, and getting to that, I mean, Troy Zan said this when he came on our podcast. He was like, it's everyone's dream to get to day 39, and not everyone can or has the ability or wants to play that stronger, aggressive game that Dom and Wendell played. And you know what, Laurel, yeah, she had to turn on them eventually, but I feel like that made it kind of poetic in a way.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, like, she sits there and she watches Dom and Wendell, like, she lets them kind of take the reins, because she knows anytime she turns on them, that means everybody's going to turn on her. Those were her big guys that would protect her. That was, you know, all of that. So, like, I don't necessarily fault her so much. Her reasoning was sound. She made her pitch to the jury, and it was exactly what she had to say and what she was supposed to say. She came out and she said, this is why I'm doing this. You know, I'm voting, like, I moved through the game with them. You guys might want to see the big flashy moves, but that's not what was best for me. And she's not wrong. She's not going to win the game ever, but she's not wrong in saying I would have gone home at sixth or seventh probably.
Yeah.
Because nobody else was really willing to work with Laurel. I guess maybe Desiree was at that one vote, but it didn't seem like anybody was really willing to work with Laurel other than Donathan. So it's like, great, we got rid of Wendell or Dom, and how are you guys going to reward me? You're going to get rid of me for making the big move. So I understand why she did what she did. I actually found it more funny that, like, how much crap Dominic got. Because I got to tell you, his move at final five or final six when Sebastian went home is seriously one of the best moves I've ever seen. And I know it had a lot to do with who he was playing with, but he is literally told earlier in the day, we are voting you out. And he has an extra vote. So if you have your idols, play them. And he did such a good job of convincing all of them that they were two real idols, that it actually got him to not have to play the idol and guaranteed himself a spot in Final Four, which now getting a guaranteed spot in Final Four automatically means you get to try, you get to work your way into the Final Three. So really, Final Five is the last time that you can be out. So this is a fantastic move by him to ensure that the only time he can be voted out, or he can't be voted out ever again the rest of the game, the worst that can happen is he loses a fire-making challenge. And like he said, he was ready to give up the necklace to sit down against Wendell to do the fire-making challenge because he was that confident in his own abilities. And I think that that is, like, you know, that's very telling of the way that Dom played this game. And that move at Final Six was so incredible. And I get the jury was bitter about it. And Kellen had her words and Sebastian looked very upset. And I get that this is a lot more personal for them because they're out there and they had to live with it. And Dom definitely was aggressive. I mean, the Donathan Tribal Council was just a joke. But that was such a great move to ensure that he was in Final Four. And you're giving yourself, you know, that you have a very good chance of going to Final Three at that point.
Yeah, I think that move right now, people are going to be like, oh, he was so showboaty about it, which, like, I certainly said. I think that's one. It's kind of like Sarah's win. Like, people in the moment are going to be like, oh, I don't like this. And then a couple seasons later, they're going to be like, wait, that was absolutely, that was like incredible, the fact that he did that. And I'm glad that you mentioned that it wasn't a result of who he was playing with, because I feel this way about Kim a lot, and she's kind of the first example that comes to me with this. I cannot fault Kim for playing with who she played with. Mm-hmm. I cannot fault Dom for playing with Sebastian and Angela. Kim played an incredible game. Dom made an incredible move. I don't like when people are like, oh, well, he played against dumb people, so the move doesn't really count. That holds nothing to me. This is the last opportunity. This was the only opportunity that Sebastian had to play this thing, and he didn't. And Angela finally got to be a part of something and still went to go talk to Dominic. It was wild.
That Angela move.
That was, I was like throwing things at my television.
Angela's move right there is one of the worst moves you'll ever see on Survivor. You have a chance right there to get rid of Dominic. He would have never seen it coming. He had only one idol. He would have tried to bluff. But if he doesn't know that there's an extra vote, he's thinking to himself, at worst, it's 3-3. You have this great situation. It's all lined up and ready to go. And Sebastian even said it on the jury, that is what would have happened had he not done so good, which is why it was such a great move. He had to be as showboaty as he could with it, because he had to prove confidence to all of them. And for her to finally be a part of it and then just walk over to Dom and say, hey, Dom, guess what? This is why Angela was never a part of anything out there, because she literally just went out there, ruined her game, Sebastian's game, and Laurel's game, and Donathan's game, all four of their games. And you know what? It's better for the season that she did, because then we get Dom versus Wendell. We get the best ending we'll ever see in a tie vote between two very worthy people. And but for Angela to do that, it's just like, why? What are you thinking? Like, what is your bet? And she's like, I know if I do this, it's going to screw up my game. And then she keeps going anyway. And it's like, why are you doing it?
Yeah, it's like the James vote, where she was like, I finally feel a relationship with someone. And then did the exact opposite of that. So I'm kind of looking forward to reading her exit interviews, and as well as Laurel and Wendell's, because I think that the immunity challenge thing from last week, where Laurel won but Wendell actually won, I think people are going to forget about that. But that is like, that's one of those like weird Survivor rules that I don't really know what's going on. And that leads me to another point about idol rules that I don't know about. I had texted you about this, but in this move, Dominic gave his fake idol, I believe it was the David idol rather than his fake idol, right? So he gives the fake David idol to Jeff, and Jeff holds it. Jeff says nothing. And so now I can think of three instances where people are giving Jeff idols and he kind of has a different reaction every time. Tony asked Jeff to verify if he had a real idol. Is that correct?
And I Jeff, think that's what
and
happened.
Jeff said, yeah, this is a lot of revisionist history, so someone please correct me. Tony asked Jeff to verify if he had a real idol. Jeff said he could not verify it. Then just last season, Ben gives Jeff a real idol and then decides to play it beforehand, so then Jeff verifies that it's a true idol. In this situation, Dom gives him an idol and he says nothing. So I'm just saying I don't love the sketchiness there. Like if Jeff is going to keep it open, then like make it open for the future. Don't be like, oh, well, I can't verify this. Like you can't play this. Just keep it wide open.
No, and I totally agree with that. Like 100%. What's weird is Dominic just walked up and said, Jeff, can you hold on to this for me? Which is
so
weird.
Jeff is just a shopping cart.
Yeah, so Jeff can pretty much sit there and be like, well, I don't have to necessarily say that this is real or not, because obviously he wants better TV, which the better TV is to not reveal that it's not real. So for him, he's probably sitting there going, well, I'm not going to reveal this. And Dominic didn't say, I'm playing this. He just said, Jeff, why don't you hold on to this? And he got up and like walked over and did his whole.
Okay, that might have been the part I missed, because I didn't know exactly what he said. So if he just said, Jeff, hold on to this, then Jeff did his job. He held on to it.
He did. He just held on to it. He didn't actually use it. So, but. All of that happens, and that's how Sebastian goes home. I mean, it's not Dominic's fault Angela told him, and that his back was against the wall, and this was the only way that he was going to make sure, ensure himself in the final four. So I don't fault him at all. I'm, like, all on board with this move by Dominic. I thought it was an absolutely fantastic move. What I think is interesting, though, and I know we have so many people who hate the fire-making challenge, and I still think the jury's out on it, because I think the first season it didn't work, and I'll say this season, though, it worked. It really worked, because here's the situation. If I'm Dominic, and I don't know the dynamics out there, but if I'm Dominic and I know how good Wendell is, I couldn't get rid of him at Final Five and I win immunity, I'm taking him to the end. I'm going to just take him, because why give him another chance to prove how worthy he was. He got to sit there and make fire and earn his way into that spot. Just take him and let the other two battle it out, because you know the other two aren't going to get any votes anyway. And you can say, look, I took my guy Wendell here. I literally put him in that seat. And I don't know what the dynamic was like, but that's such an interesting thing that this adds to it. I mean, was Dominic ever going to actually give up his immunity to do the fire making challenge against Wendell? I highly, highly doubt it. But at the same time, he could have done that if he wanted to.
I think he was considering it more than, like, I think he was actually thinking about that. I don't think that was like a red herring. I think he, because he's like a poker player and he wants to play his big aggressive game. Like, I actually thought he was going to go through with it.
Well, and I'll be honest with you, Mike, as dumb as it would have been if it doesn't work out, if he doesn't think he's going to beat Wendell, which he ends up not beating Wendell, maybe he sits there and says, the only way that I'm going to beat Wendell is if I make sure he doesn't come in. And then that makes that final four challenge like, oh man, he's got it. Like, I have to, you know, make sure that Wendell loses. I have to give up my necklace so that Wendell can't get in the final three with me because I won't beat him. I mean, that's something that this fire making challenge will definitely do in the future. If somebody who's a little bit weaker of a player, I think Chrissy won immunity last year and she believed that she was going to win. Mm-hmm. So that wasn't really much of an issue. She always knew she was going to take Ryan and she knew she'd beat Ryan. I think she still thought she could beat Ben or Devin. But in the future, somebody might win that immunity and be like, you know, let's say Adam wins that immunity. Is he going to say, David Wright, you go over there and make fire to prove your worth even more? Or is Adam going to say, I need to knock him out because either I'm going to get second place if he wins this challenge, or I'll just get fourth place because I couldn't beat him. And if I couldn't beat him there, I wasn't going to beat him in the final anyway. So what were you going to do? Really, your only chance at the million is to actually sit down next to the guy. So I thought this was a really interesting thing. And I mean, it didn't work out for Dom the night, but I think that a lot of things were still up in the air going into that final tribal council. And that's why everybody on that jury was shocked to see a 5-5 vote.
Yeah, and if Dominic does do that, I either texted you this, I think I was texting intern Robert this. If Dominic does this, it's a JT giving Russell his idol situation. If Dominic wins this, he sweeps the jury. He's one of the best winners of all time. And if he doesn't, and then if he loses, it's like, why the crap did you give up your immunity idol? You're just like, Eric, blah, blah, blah. So I liked it because if he did it, no matter what, I would have respected it because that's a game that Dom played. Kind of reminds me of like when Kellen didn't play the game on her first trip and goes down. She's like, this just isn't right. This isn't the game I'm trying to play at this exact moment. I had something else about this fire making, but it's really blanking on me. Oh, but kind of like you said, this, I still don't have, I hate the fire making, but in this tonight, I thought it was really good. Though I could not have puked faster when the whole flag situation is going down. Like I'm actually mad. I just brought it up. I thought that was absolutely moronic. And at that point I was like, I need the season to end immediately. But
I don't blame Wendell for bringing it up, to be honest with you, because of how much it got played up.
Yeah.
And maybe he's a superstitious guy. I don't know. He was never on Orange. So why would he want to be on Orange in that last thing? But it is dumb that it's like, come on. Well,
they could have cut, you know, the 45 seconds of conversation, given us more Kevin Hart content, which I really would have preferred. So, you know, I just really
want to watch. Can we address Kevin Hart real quick? I just want to say this because I know a lot of people are like, we want to focus on the cast. We want to do this. And I agree. I would have rather heard all the people who are dating on this season. I would have rather heard from, you know, a lot of things. I mean, maybe they were trying to hide the fact Stephanie Johnson wasn't there, which was unique. Yeah. I don't know why she wasn't there, but she wasn't there. So maybe they were trying to hide the fact that the entire cast wasn't actually there. But just think about this. 36 seasons in, this show is clearly, this TKO show, they have Kevin Hart on a CBS show. Kevin Hart, one of the highest paid actors in all of Hollywood, on a CBS show, who this is going to be their big show of the summer, and they have Survivor's finale being its like biggest promoter. That says so much about Survivor. So as much as you probably hated that we had to watch Kevin Hart tonight, think about how cool it is that 36 seasons and 18 years later, that is still what CBS thinks is going to get them the most people watching their show, TKO, is putting it in the Survivor reunion and having 50 commercials for it is Survivor. So, you know, think about it that way.
That's a positive spin that I could use because I was like, this is ridiculous. Also, I know it's like, this was not Jeff's decision. And this kind of, I wanted to go back to the fire making, but I'll say this real quick. All these people who are like, why did Jeff hype up the season so much? Like, I don't get it. Why did Jeff hype up the fire making challenge? It's literally Jeff's job. Like, do you want Jeff to be like, you know what? It's a great pre-merge, but then all the good people go, and then it's an merge. And then we purposely edited it so it's only Dom and Wendell, and you all complained about it, but look how happy you are now that it ended really well. Like, Jeff's not going to say that. He can't do that. And so CBS is doing exactly what Phil said. Like, Survivor is the cornerstone of their prime, of their primetime shows. And I mean, Jeff said it tonight, like, it kills its time slot every single week. 18 mm-hmm. years later, it's wild. And I really think we don't appreciate that much. And I can say that because I complain about this show twice a week for mm-hmm. 80% of the year. And so thank you, CBS. But going backwards, this is what they wanted, the production, Jeff, Mark Burnett, whoever, when they created Fire Making Challenge, because they wanted more votes like this. And we've wanted more votes like this. Like mm-hmm. you just said, when was the last time we had a final three that was actually competitive? We really haven't. I really can't think of one. And the final three's been going on for almost half a Survivor at this point. Yeah. So this is
over
when they
half of Survivor. I mean, yeah, I when mean it started the, final three it, start? The first final three was in season 13, Cook Islands.
It was.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I mean, you're looking at almost like 23, 24 seasons of that. I mean, but like, I watched this episode tonight and I see Wendell and Dom, and these two guys knew they had idols the whole time. They didn't try to make a move on each other because they knew if they made a move on each other, they were in trouble. They were using each other as a shield. So to watch them both with idols and you keep on letting it go like this, I mean, I thought that was really cool. So yeah. I really did.
Yeah. And so I guess the point I'm trying to make is, like, I don't know if the Fire Making Challenge is the right way to go about it, because I think it screws a lot of types, quote unquote, types of characters. Mm-hmm. But we have been asking for a more competitive Final Tribal Council, and now we're getting it.
That was the most competitive one we've ever seen.
And even you could even make the argument last season that it made it more competitive, because Ben would have gone home, and according to exit interviews, people would have voted for Chrissy instead of Devin. Like, mm-hmm. people didn't think Devin was playing the game. So, I mean, yeah, maybe, like, you could say that Chrissy got screwed, but it made it more competitive. It made it more exciting. All three of those people earned it. And tonight, Dom and Wendell were just going at it, and that's what we've wanted this whole time. And now it makes sense why it was edited this way. I don't know if that changes how I feel about this season, but it makes sense why they edited them this way, because it needed to be made the most equal, even powerhouse fight there has ever been.
And this is what I wanted to say before, and I totally forgot. But for me, I had said this was like a bottom five season. I mean, clearly
that's
not the case.
Yeah, you got a couple tweets at you.
That's clearly not the case after this, and that's fine. I mean, I come out here and I put, you know, like you said, we complained about it for 2 hours every week. But I mean, I come out here and I say exactly what I feel about the show as it's going on. But I will say, I think the reason also Jeff was really hyping the season, think about how great that pre-merge was. Think about how great the merge boot was. And think about how great the move at Final Six was if Sebastian's a better edited character. Donathan goes at Final Five. Angela loses the final fire-making challenge, which, yeah, Angela was never going to be a superstar here. But then you have a Final Three that ends in a tie, and you get an incredibly deserving winner who wins because he gave an immunity neck with somebody and was really their day one. Because of all that stuff, you have to think, Jeff and CBS and all those people, they're probably sitting there going, oh my God, this is going to be one of the best seasons we ever had, and totally forget that after Chris went home, it's incredibly predictable. And we all knew that Michael, Libby, Desiree, Jenna, and you know, them, they weren't going to make it anywhere. And then they go and they edit Kellen like she's some villain, when really, you know, she ends up being the voice of the entire Final Tribal Council. It's like, of course they thought this was going to be a great season. The ending and the beginning were epic. It's just like, right after Chris went home, it was like, all right, what are we doing? And it, this season really suffered from it.
Yeah, I think it did too. And I'm definitely like much more on the up than I was going into it 4 days ago. Where I put this season, I'm definitely going to have to sit on that for a little while, mm-hmm. because even this finale, I was like, this finale sucks. This finale is really good. This finale sucks. Mm-hmm. I went back and forth, going crazy. I was pretty mentally unstable during that. But yeah, I didn't know how to feel about it, because the first two boots, I was like, this is annoying. Like, it's Dom and Wendell. Dom's being obnoxious. Sebastian's high. Like, Angela, you know, she was useless. And then they went to go. And then I think what bothered me is when they went to go sound and just sat at Ghost Island. I was like, this is obscene. This is just so dumb. But then Dom picking the urn, I thought was very cool. I was a huge fan of that. You said you would have picked Australia. I think, as a fan, I would have picked Australia, but that Kagyan urn looks so cool.
Well, and also, I would have picked Australia just because I think it's like, you know, it's cool. It's like the second season of Survivor.
Yeah, it looks so, like, menial compared to the other two.
But what I will say, yeah, well, it is. I mean, back then they were making stuff out of like sticks and rocks and stuff. But I will say, the way Dom played the entire game, it makes the most sense to bring the Tony. I mean, yeah, he played the game like Tony. He wanted everybody to have Tony on their mind and remember how great of a wiener he was while Dom sat there. So I think that was the smartest move for him, was bringing that one. I mean, there's no reason to ever bring the Game Changers one. So, you know, I think that this was a smart move.
No, but there's been enough Game Changers references in this season.
And I think that was like a cool little thing. I mean, it wasn't like the greatest thing I've ever seen, but I really thought it was like a fun, like, hey, you know, here's like your final like little thing that you get to do. And, you know, now that thing will always be cursed, even though I think that's BS, because, hey, the only thing that's really cursed right now, I mean, Eric Reichenbach's necklace is no longer cursed because it just won Wendell $1 million. But, you know, I mean, I think that final tribal council, everybody came in guns blazing because nobody knew who they really thought was the most deserving. I mean, Chris goes and votes for Dom. If you would have told me Chris was going to vote for Dom.
Which I called that. Did.
But if you would have told me Chris was going to vote for Dom, I would have said, okay, cool, Dom wins 6-4. Like, or 6-3-1. I mean, Donathan didn't even vote for Laurel. And, like, that's fine. Like, I'm totally fine with Donathan not voting for Laurel. I get why he didn't. He probably sat there and said, I mean, I think Donathan's such a big fan of the game, he'll vote for who he thinks the best player is. Even though you would think he'd be voting with his heart, I think he is somebody who's like, no, I love this game. I want the most deserving person to win. But that was a really like crazy, crazy ending there. And I liked that they got that. I thought Ghost Island the whole season was a bust. I mean, that Ghost Island, other than Chris going, was, I thought, really lame. It never brought anything to it. I like that the four of them got to go, because it's kind of like the rites of passage thing where it's like the final four people should all get to go to Ghost Island. I mean, imagine your season is Ghost Island. You win the season and never once did you step foot on Ghost Island. Like, that would suck. So
that'd
like
be pretty lame.
I think it's cool because, you know, like Exile Island, they started them off on Exile Island. Like, I think it's cool that like they all got to go there. They all got to experience it. They all got to see what it was like. I don't think Laurel or Wendell had ever been there or done.
Wendell had gone for like a hot second to get his.
That's right. That's right. It was Dominic.
But he didn't like spend the night there or anything. But Dominic had
Dominic and Laurel. Yeah.
Yeah. And so for all of you keeping track at home, this counts for the prop bet. Laurel, Dominic, Angela, Angela hadn't been to Ghost Island, and Wendell all went to Ghost Island, and someone tweeted at us, Donathan hugged Jeff Probst. It happened in the live finale, but he did it. I am convinced that he did that because he listens to this podcast. I cannot imagine any other reason why he would hug Jeff. So you heard it here first. That's why this happened.
There you go. Yeah.
There you go.
There you go. So we get a hug. We got a hug again. I think Donathan did it on purpose. You know, he was like, I got to make sure that the specialists like me and that I'll hug.
Got to mess up the prop bet. Yeah. Were there last night. Were you telling him to hug him?
No, I never. I don't want to influence the game in any way. But I will say also, I thought it was kind of cool to have Eric and James go up there. I thought that was like a cooler part.
Oh my God, James.
James is great. I mean, I still miss James. James looks exactly the same. He hasn't aged like.
And also, that guy has not watched Survivor.
Oh my God. I thought that was so funny. Who had the tweet?
Steven Fishback. His tweet, if anyone wants to go back in the suites, he was on fire tonight. He had some great tweets.
Yeah, he was like, you know, like James is like, I don't even watch the show. And Eric's like, I cry inside. It's like, great. So you guys are doing well. Like. But I thought that was great. I mean, we get to see Eric and James back out there, and their idols were a big part of this season. And, you know, obviously they're known for two of the dumbest moves. So why not bring them out for a Ghost Island season? I was a big fan of that.
And James, I've seen the Eric clip 1,000 times, but James cracking up when Eric plays that is just the funniest thing. And it's like so everyone starts, like, he's just losing his mind over that.
Yeah.
You see Jeff, like Jeff puts his hand on James's shoulder and James does not even move. Because he is a human mountain.
Exactly. Yeah. And James was not even hinting that like he enjoyed Survivor in the slightest bit.
He's like, he was fun like, while it was
happening, but I can't watch the show. I thought that was fantastic. So,
I know. Yeah. I'm impressed they got him because I feel like they could have gotten like other people. Like they could have gotten Eliza. Like I know she's still involved. Not that I didn't want James, but like if they were going strictly for people who still watch the show, I'm surprised they could even contact James. I feel like James is one of those people who you can't really find.
Hey, they found him.
Maybe he'll come back.
But maybe. That would be amazing. There's no way, though.
That's
You got to think, though, 8 years since he played in Heroes versus Villains, and he really doesn't look any older at all.
How old was he? I was just about to ask, how old is he? How old is
he in Heroes versus Villains?
Yeah.
In his 40s, right?
I mean, he's
41 years old.
Wow, he looks really good.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to see him and Brendan on a season together, you know?
Yeah, yeah, that sounds fine.
Yeah, but no, I have to say, I think that this finale was a really good ending to a below average season for sure. I kind of liked how, once again, I'm more of a fan of this jury format here. I like this jury format. I like the way that it's going down. I think it's cool because we didn't need to hear from Chelsea tonight. We didn't need to hear from Jenna. I mean, they weren't going to say, like, let it be Michael and Donathan and everybody who's just letting this conversation roll. And I liked when Wendell was like, I brought Laurel in, and Donathan like was like, nope, that was Dom. And you gotta remember, this is Donathan who was like at Dominic's throat towards the end here. Mm-hmm. And like, it was really cool. I love that they just interrupt each other, that they talk over each other, and they tell the truth. They get the truth that at least they want out there to be made sure that it's out there. So I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, I think that's where I can't decide how I feel about it, because I don't need to hear everyone speak, but I don't love the interrupting, because I don't like how the people who are actually in the Final Tribal Council, they sometimes can't even get their words out. And like you just said, people want to get their truth out. Donathan's truth is different from Wendell's truth, is different from Michael's truth. And so I know, like, you need a full discourse. This is getting like very existential. You need a full discourse to find out what the real truth is. But what I did find frustrating is that people were annoyed about Wendell with something, so they would just kind of rally behind the Dominic train. And then they were annoyed with Dominic for being cocky, and they were just rallying behind Wendell. And none of them really got the opportunity to speak. So I think I just wanted them. And as a result of that, Wendell like was afraid to talk. He was so shaky. And Dominic was like really, really going into full Dominic mode. And so I don't like it, where the people who are supposed to be pitching themselves almost aren't. But then you are right, they are able to be corrected. So,
well, my thing is,
I want to find a middle ground there.
If Wendell's going to say, I brought Laurel in, I brought Donathan in, then I want them to correct him and say, that's not what happened. I want that to be. And I liked when Kellen, that got Kellen to do the whole thing of raise your hand.
That was great.
Like, if you worked with them and tell me who brought you in. And I thought that was really good. I mean, because then that just says, from my perspective, this is what happened. So you can't sit there and say Wendell knows who he brought in, because the people who are out of the game are saying, no, Dominic did it.
And you bring up a good point, because that was kind of Kellen who said that. And then Kellen ended up voting for Wendell, even though everyone kind of unanimously said Donathan. Dominic, except for Sebastian. I'm sorry for this to be done. I think what does frustrate me, though, is that you can't fight back against the jury. Wendell can't be like, no, screw you guys. You guys are wrong. Because he's going to lose that way. So if it becomes a hive mind thing behind incorrect information, that I would really have an issue with that. So I haven't really seen that yet, but that's what I don't like about the interrupting. But I don't know. I'm going to need to watch it a couple more times to decide how I feel about it. But this one was different because they were both so equal. Like with the Game Changers one, they were all just like, yeah, Sarah crushed it. Like, we're done here.
Yeah. No, in this one, I mean, yeah, that was what was good. I mean, I think that still having like Dominic like kind of laughing at Wendell and stuff like that, like Dominic was still in his Dominic mode. And I think that rubbed some jury members the wrong way. And I liked what Michael said. He's like, I don't care. Like, this doesn't bother me. I'm going to vote for you to win anyway. But I think that some people were bothered by it. I mean, Kellen was clearly upset there. Sebastian was clearly upset there. There was more emotion we saw from Sebastian tonight than we've seen the entire show.
Yeah.
You know, so like, that's really cool. Like, I was all about that.
Yeah, that was great. I know. Poor Sebastian. He was so sad.
He was. He was, like, upset. And I was like, damn, I thought this guy had one mode. I liked how, like, in the intro, everybody gets, like, a confessional, and Sebastian got a repeat confessional.
He got two repeat confessionals. It was ridiculous.
It was hilarious. It was so funny.
Yeah, it encapsulated this season in a nutshell.
It did. It really did. It's like, Sebastian, we can't even give, like, new stuff. But I think that I have to say, like, you know, if I hope that like every season I don't know if you said it, but I said this on the predictions. For as predictable as the season was, at least it was two people. So we knew they were going to get there, but that's okay. As long as we're going to get a finale like we got tonight, as long as they're sitting next to each other in the final, I am all about it being like that. But like, I was talking to one of my friends and I was saying, like, it was just super obvious that after Chris went home, Dom and Wendell were both going to at least make it to Final Four because there was nobody else to take it over. There was no Natalie Anderson to Josh and Jeremy. Like, if Dominic and Wendell both went home, you sit there and go, okay, who is the next person? So you knew that neither of them are going to go home. And I'm not saying some of these people couldn't have taken that role, but the way they edited Kellen, the way they edited Donathan, the way they edited Sebastian, like, we all knew that it was one of those two who had to win this season. So it got to that point, like, Michael was never going to be able to navigate his way all the way to that point. That would have just been insane. So, I mean, it was a predictable season for a really long stretch of it, but it was nice that it was two people who were running it and got to the end, and we got to watch both of them really fight it out. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's one of those, do I think the right person won? I honestly don't know in this situation because it's a very Yule Ozzie situation. You could probably watch a season 10 times. Five times say Wendell should have won, and five times say Dominic should have won.
Mm-hmm. To me, I like my kind of take on the whole jury and who deserves to win. I believe that every winner deserved to win. So if Laura voted for Dominic, I would have said that Dominic deserved to win. And I, well, deserved is the wrong word. The right person won. I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
I think the right person wins every season. But yeah, I mean, Dominic played the best losing game of all time. Like, is that a spicy take? I don't think so. I feel like that's, like, you put that up there with, like, Sari. Like, what more could he have done? He just needed to be closer to one person than the guy who's sitting next to him.
Yeah, no, you're right. Absolutely. Yeah. He just needed to be closer. You're right. He needed to be closer to your Laurel, or he needed to sway one more person on that jury. He sways one more person on that jury. It doesn't matter that he wasn't as close with Laurel. And Laurel wasn't going to give him the vote just because he took Laurel there. I mean, earlier in the game, Laurel and Wanda were just closer together.
Exactly.
And now it makes sense why we saw so many freaking things about Wendell and Laurel being their number ones and Laurel saying, I don't know if he is, because they wanted you to keep wishy-washy on whether Laurel was actually as close with Wendell as Wendell thought they were, because they knew that it was going to be a tie at the end. So like Dominic said tonight, he knew as soon as like Laurel walked up there that it was over, he was done. But you know, they didn't want the Survivor people didn't want you to know that and, you know, keep it up in the air because she was going to be the deciding vote. This literally came down to Laurel deciding like Survivor goes silent. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, that is pretty wild. And someone tweeted at us, and I don't know if this is a coincidence or an interesting point, but the first five people on the jury all voted for Dominic, and the last five people on the jury all voted for Wendell.
That's not how it went. They said, Jeff said, when the first votes came out, he said, these are the votes for Dominic, and he said, and these are who voted for Wendell. They did it in that order so you could see who actually voted for each person. That's not the order that they actually went.
No, but like voted out people like Chris, Libby, Dez, Chelsea, and Michael voted for Dominic.
That's crazy.
And Kellen, Jenna, Angela, Sebastian, and Donathan voted for Wendell.
Well, Jenna went out before Michael, though. So
Damn, there goes
that theory.
Oh. All right. Tweet person, you were wrong.
Yeah, because Jenna went out before. So, you know, that was close, though.
Jenna did go out before Michael. Yeah.
Yeah, because that was the same episode. I mean, that was like the worst double boot ever.
That was bad.
But yeah, I mean, so Alexa, I mean, what else do you want to say about Survivor Ghost Island? Other than that,
you want to do a couple comments?
I mean, yeah, we can do a couple comments. That'll work for me. I can't get mine going though, so if you want,
and I will get my going in a minute. So a lot of people tweeted about our prop bet. We got hit a bunch tonight. Jake Conley, whose name is spelled upside down, did this finale move the season up in your rankings at all? I kind of alluded to this, but what do you think, Phil?
I responded yes. I didn't want to give any
more
than
that. I saw you tweeted yes, and I was like, I hope you responded something legit.
Yeah, no, I really did. I said yes. So I think that, you know, when you have an ending like that, the feeling I got at that ending, I hadn't gotten a feeling like that for Survivor in a very long time. You know, where it's like, wow, like that was like something new. Like we finally saw something like crazy and it's like, holy crap, like this is awesome. Like I was making the same faces as Kellen and that means that I was really like, you know.
Very animated. But actually, you brought up a good point. Like I'm the last person to be like, I love the whole Ghost Island theme. But my reaction to that tie vote was the reaction that I had like sitting on my couch with my parents flipping out about Eric giving up his immunity necklace.
Or
just
James giving up his
idols. Like just raw what the crap is going on. And it's such a feeling that you miss.
Yeah.
Wu being like, what the hell are you doing, Wu?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think you're right. That is a feeling that you end up missing. And like, you know, this whole season, I just sat there and like rolled my eyes most of the time. But then that happens and I'm like, damn, you know what? Like, I never got that feeling in Heroes, Healers, Hustlers. I never got that feeling in Game Changers. And like Will said, when we did our season rankings way back, he said, you know, he put Millennials vs. Gen X at number one. He said, why wouldn't it be my number one? I never had more fun watching Survivor. And like, that was a new experience, you know? The podcast was bigger. Adam was a fan of us. Like, that was cool. So that was why, and the gameplay was really good on that season. So that's why he said it was his favorite. And I think the feeling I got from the end of this episode, since I don't get that in really any other season, that of course moves it up. I mean, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yes, one little moment like that can shoot a season further up in the rankings by a lot. Cause I had it below Thailand. Remember I said that. Did Thailand ever have a moment like that? Absolutely not. And that can overtake any moment in Thailand. And yeah, I think it's enough, you know?
Yeah. So Ever's at a point where the show relies so much on nostalgia. And I think especially this season, because that's kind of what they wrapped the whole thing around. But the people who watch Survivor are diehard crazy fans. And we all know who James and Eric are. Like, that's, I'm trying to think of like another show where like they would do that. And it just wouldn't make sense because like, they're just so iconic. And instead of us being like, why are they wasting time with James and Eric? It's like, oh my God, they actually got James and Eric back. This is so cool. And so bringing back like those feelings that we felt when we were so young watching this exact same show, you can't beat that.
Yeah, no, you're right. Andy Vogel, Phil, you shut your mouth about this being a bottom five season. Note, spending this before Probst reads the last vote. That's fine. I mean, I'll take the heat for that one. I mean, this moves up a bit for this finale. It was a much better game. And it was funny to watch like the survivors who are on the season, like hint at what was coming because they couldn't say anything, but they were like, there's a lot of game left to be played. You get ready. And it was like,
no, there isn't.
Yeah, that's it. Get ready. Like here comes really all they were talking about was they can't give us the, they didn't want to spoil that it was going to be a tie vote. But, you know, imagine having to hold that in the entire time. Like, that sucks.
I know, yeah. And I mean, Dominic obviously sounded like he and Wendell knew. But I feel like now that all the casts are so close, they all just, like, tell each other or they know fairly quickly. But, man, if you're Laurel, like, you're sitting on that for a year.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, she's been sitting on that and, like, Wendell or Dom, like Wendell knew he won and Dom knew he lost, but yeah, Laurel's got to sit there with that. Like, damn, I just,
I am the cornerstone of this season somehow.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. We got a bunch of, this is also great. Blah, blah, blah. Austin Hidalgo, turns out the obvious winner pick can also be the correct pick. So psyched I had Wendell winning in your bootless game, which brings me to a segue that I haven't brought up in 47 minutes. I picked not only the winner of the season, but I tied the eliminator game with Vaughn. I am very happy. And I didn't have to adequately express it without being loud because my roommates are asleep.
There you go. And
heck yeah. Freaking picked a winner.
And I will say, once again, in a very tough way to call it going into a finale, when people are all going on the flashy player like an Aubrey, I sat here and I looked you all in the eye and I said, Wendell's going to win the game. And
don't take this away from me.
I just want to say that you might have picked it at the beginning, but I used all of the notes. I used all of like the, what do you call it? The research to prove that Wendell was going to win. You just guessed out of a hat.
I used my gut. Like Kellen.
Wow.
How was that? Did you like that?
Immediately.
Kellen, I hope you're listening.
Yeah, after the finale, they just threw this right on.
I mean, I don't really know what else they would be doing with their time.
I don't know. They better be doing this right. all right, so what do we have here? We have, well, are you okay over there?
Yeah, I'm ailing.
I got to scroll up here. Wait, Gamer Girl, which jury was more bitters this season's or Game Changers? I don't think this jury was really that bitter. I mean, they definitely were more angry with Dominic, but I think that they really thought this through. And some of the people who were still angry with Dominic still ended up voting for him. So, and I don't think it's like bitter if you don't vote for Dominic to vote for Wendell, because like Wendell was pretty damn deserving.
Yeah, I don't think they were bitter. Like, I think it's very normal for people to be annoyed with showboating. Like, that's not, I don't know, that's fine.
Yeah, no, I get that.
Buh, 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 buh. Andy Vogel, I'm going to play devil's advocate here. Is it possible that this season was intentionally edited to be so predictable in order to play up the gravity of what happened at the final vote? We've all been waiting for the showdown, and damn, did it deliver. Andy Vogel hit the nail on the head. That's exactly why they did it.
I mean, they had to. I mean, they knew that this was coming. They knew this humongous moment was coming. And it's like, you have to play up Dom and Wendell both, because when it gets down to it, they want you to think like, wow, Laurel could have voted for either of them. And really, with Wendell giving her the idol and then next Dominic taking her to the end, I mean, it could have been either one. I mean, I still was like, man, poor Dominic, he just lost, but it could have been either one.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I have to find another one. Sorry.
The next one's good. Like Chris, I can do it.
Oh, should Dominic even play again? He has arguably the best losing game. We can only go downhill from here. Can't only go downhill because he could win.
He could get another tie.
And I think that he has a really good chance of playing again. He'll absolutely be back. It's just a matter of are people going to – he'll definitely be back, but are people going to just be like, he's too aggressive, he's too good with his idols and all that, and then he never gets a fair chance? Or are they going to be like, you know, he's like loud and whatever, we can let him kind of go through. Because if he plays with better players, I think there's a chance that he could really prove himself or also go out. I don't think that Dominic is as dangerous as we saw in this season if he plays with a group of all-stars. Like, he's still going to be one of the better players out there, but I don't think he's as dangerous as he was on this season, because this season he was really the only loud in-your-face character other than Chris, who went home at 12.
Dom would do best on an all-stars or a legends kind of season, or like a heroes versus villains, kind of like what you said, when he's playing with people of the same caliber. Like, you put him on Game Changers and he's gone third, you know?
Yeah.
So I think you're right. I think he needs to be on a level playing field in order for him to, you know, make it past two tribal councils.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And let's read this Chris one. Can all fans agree that this fire challenge sucks? It has cost two deserved winnings crown. This did not cost Dominic. Like, Dominic sat there in the final three. He didn't lose because of this. I'm totally fine with this. He knew that this was coming, and he couldn't get rid of Wendell any earlier than he did. He tried, and he couldn't. He said if he didn't have the idol at five, he would have gotten rid of him at five. Like, Wendell won two immunities that he had to win in a row to ensure that he still had his idol. Like, he did what he had to do to get to where he got. I don't think that this screwed him at all. In fact, I think this is why this finale, if they don't have this fire challenge, Wendell goes home at four, and it's boring. You sit there and you watch Dominic win 10-0-0 over Angela and over Laurel. But because of this fire challenge, we got that moment. And I don't think at all that this takes it away from Dominic, because Dominic knew going into it that he was going to have to get rid of Wendell at some point. They both knew it. Well, you threw him up there in the fire challenge. You should have sat down next to him if you really thought you were the only one who could have beat him. So I don't think so at all. I think the fire challenge was great tonight.
Yeah, tonight it was great. I think, for me, it's going to be situational until I just need more of a sample size. Like, last season and this season were two very different situations. I feel like I need like five of these to make my decision, but I don't know if I want five of them.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. We probably will see more though. I mean, you know, it's 1-2 right now. So that's better than Ghost. Like, Ghost Island started off 0-1. Maybe next time it would be good.
Maybe. Giovanni Oriana with a very important comment. Butch would be the first draft pick in a fire making challenge.
Butch would have won Amazon if they had the final four fire making challenge.
Yeah.
He would have built such a great fire that everybody had been like, we have to give this man $1 million.
Iconic.
Let's see here. So here we go. Island Living, this tweet right here, I called before it happened. So this is from her. Remember when Jay found Real David Wright's idol? He said, you ain't sending this pirate home. My prediction is Sebastian was called the pirate by Dominic. He's going to be the victim of Dom David's fake idol. It'll be priceless if it happens that way. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened.
That is really exactly prophetic.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's insane.
That's wild.
All right. That's cool.
Survivor CBS fans, who do you guys hope to eventually see on the podcast? Hopefully everybody on the season, as well as every Survivor that's ever played.
Yeah, and hopefully definitely Wendell.
Yeah, Wendell would be cool, because like I've talked about how great Wendell is, like, you know, since the preseason. So
I mean, he won. So
you know,
so
Wendell, you won, and I picked you to win, and I think you're great, and yeah, I should come on.
Alexa's over here crushing on Wendell hard.
I am like, well, Yeah, I am. Whatever.
So I'll make my pitch to Dom. Oh, Dom.
Oh, like, Dom, you're so dreamy.
Yeah, you're so dreamy.
Well, Kristen follows us now, so you better watch.
Yeah, I was gonna say we got to get Kristen onto the podcast. Not
yes,
Dom.
That would actually be awesome. Dominic's adorable son. Did you see the photo that she tweeted of him?
Oh, so with Chris. Crazy. Yeah.
Oh, also with her son Chris Noble.
That was funny. let's see here. Gamer Girl, does anyone else wish they would have kept playing that Eric clip until James' iconic line? They had to end it with James laughing. That was where they had to end it. They needed to end it right away. So,
Chris, will this season be one of the best to rewatch? For me, the overwhelming Dom and Wendell edit now makes more sense. When we have to rewatch, we'll hopefully explain what Jerry voted how they did. That's a very good point, because in our predictions for the finale, I said I don't need to rewatch the season because I'm so frustrated with it, but now that I understand why they did this, I think it might help on a rewatch. I don't particularly want to, but I know that I will.
Yeah, I think that this will be better on a rewatch, knowing like how it ends, and maybe. I mean, it's also one of those things that you're not going to learn anything new, which is kind of a shame.
Mm. But going back to something you said, like when we first started, we were all so convinced that there was a tie last season, and no one even talked about it. This season, this season was so well hidden and so well kept. I'm so happy that it wasn't spoiled.
Yeah. Yeah. And you think that we would have said it, but I think I'd given up on like this season having anything redeeming about it.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Cloud Noctis. Hey, Alexa and Phil. Hey, Alex and Phil. Well, I'm happy I called Wendell to be winner before the finale itself. Happy when the season ended. Cheers. I just want to say I love when people call you Alexis. That seems to be like the general consensus.
Yeah, I get that a lot.
Is that your name is Alexis? So
I got that in middle school when there was a substitute teacher, or high school. You know, they'd read my name. My name's very simple. It ends with an A, not an IS. And I don't know, they mess it up every time. I get Alex because Alex would be like, oh, I didn't hit the A key hard enough. Like, oops. Yeah. But no, Alexis is extremely wrong.
Says Alexa in all of our things.
Yeah. Or I like, it's like when people call you Will. It's like, Will's been gone for a little bit now.
Yeah, Will's been gone for like a season.
Like, he's dead. He's not around. He's not actually dead. I'm so sorry.
He's not. Yeah.
No, he is not dead at all. I take back everything I just said.
But maybe. Cindy Seidelman, this is the last one. With Laurel's GOAT status cemented, do you see her as a bigger GOAT than Troy's inner boss and Rob GOATs as biggest GOATs in the new era?
That GOAT was used quite a bit.
That's a lot of GOAT there. Honestly, I don't think Laurel – I mean, Laurel just made, like, the biggest vote ever there, so come on. And then Troy's in – it's hard to say, like, with, like, a season like that because it's a returning season and – when you have a returning season, like Troy Zane could have easily won his first season, and he comes out the second season, he's trying to play a completely different game to like make sure like he doesn't make the same mistake again. So that makes it harder. So I will say for sure that Philip and Natalie Tenorelli are still the two biggest goats.
The goatiest goats.
The goatiest goats of all the goats.
Of all the goats. Well, it's 11:57 PM. I'm about to get on a plane tomorrow, and you're hopefully gonna go.
Hopefully.
Hang out with some survivors. I wasn't sure if I was going to say that. but we said it, and here we are. So, Phil, what are your parting words about Survivor Ghost Island?
Survivor Ghost Island started off great. It went downhill heavily after Bradley went home. Because even Chris's boot episode was great, it's still like you knew Chris was never going to win. The editors did a really bad job with some of the characters. It was confusing. I'm still confused how I'm supposed to feel about Kellen. But it ended on the greatest note. So, and we got a lot of Kevin Hart in the finale, so who could ever complain?
I don't know why anybody wouldn't want that. It feels like Gonzalez and Jacob and Stephanie and Brendan, they feel like a different season.
They do. I mean, it's crazy. I was talking to my mom this morning about, like, James, and she was like, huh? And I was like, James. And she was like, which guy is that? And I was like, the one who couldn't swim down. She's like, oh, that was this season.
Yeah.
Like, it does feel like a long time ago because there was a clear division when Bradley went home, how much it felt like two different seasons, the pre-merge and the post-merge.
Yeah, it was like Malolo and Navidi. Like, the whole first half is about Malolo. I think that's right. I think, unfortunately, a season with some really awesome characters had some pretty horrific editing, but to me, that's not going to take away how good the winner was and how good, like, just the, like, that Endgame was. Mm-hmm. Dominic and Wendell, for all the complaints people had, I don't think any of the complaints were about them specifically. It was just about their airtime versus other people's airtime. They played a fantastic game. This finale is going to go down as definitely one of the most talked about, and that was definitely the coolest ending to a season I've ever seen.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I'm in total agreement on that. So that's Survivor Ghost Island, right? That's it. We have David and Goliath next, a bunch of people named David on one tribe and then a bunch of muscular guys on the other.
Yeah, it was definitely weird that it was like, my name is Alexa, but the word David is behind my name. That my was name really is not funny. Alexa David. That's not who I am.
I thought that was funny. Like the first time it was like Nick, and I was like, why does it say David behind that? Like David.
Also, there's a guy named Christian on a season called David vs. Goliath. Like that kid's gotta win. He's gotta win.
Oh God.
Like that's just too good. Oh, God. It's like having someone named Donathan on Survivor Ghost Island. Like you couldn't write it any better.
All right. So, Alexa, do you want to end this? Alexa's going to be away. So, when she comes back, we'll try to get some of these crazy cast members on here. Hopefully, we can get some of them to come on, talk some Survivor Ghost Island. I know a lot of the pre-mergers like us. I think they might like us more than the post-merge.
Yeah, but the post-merge is when we started to get a little unhappy with the season, and that also timed up well with the decline of survivors interacting with us.
Yeah, seriously.
But yeah, I'm gonna be gone. So we're probably gonna take like a week and a half off to just collect our thoughts. And then in the meantime, we're gonna be reaching out to survivors. We really wanna get as many people on as possible. Hopefully just to give you guys give us a little more insight to the season, let them talk it out, let you guys hear. And we got a long off season ahead, so we've got some cool stuff planned for you guys. Any suggestions, you know how to contact us on Twitter at Survivor Specialist, on Facebook. Keep hitting that subscribe button. We got like 500 new subscribers this season. I don't know what happened, but it was really awesome. So keep hitting that subscribe button. Keep telling your friends. Like I said, we have a bunch of cool stuff planned for you guys in the off season. We have a 4 month off season ahead. So we got some good stuff to fill with. But in the meantime, we are closing the book on season 36 of Ghost Island, and we will be back. Have a good night.
Sounds good.